Probably be helpful if you have your sheets because I put all the references together so it's easier for you to see. So if you do have a sheet, I think it will be easier for you to study with us this morning the harmony of the Gospels. And to be honest with you, our topic this morning is only going to take 15, 20 minutes because it's just a few verses. I didn't want to go into the next section because that's a longer section, and we'll look at that whole section next time. So what I make up with brevity today, don't worry about it, because next time we will make it up because it's a longer passage. But Heavenly Father, we're thanking you for our study of the harmony of the Gospels, how we can just see the whole picture as we chronologically go walk with the Lord Jesus Christ those last 3 years of his life upon this earth. Just bless us, Lord, as we learn more of our Lord and Savior and how he would desire of us to respond to various situations. Lord, just grow us, we pray this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you can see that our topic today in this harmony of the Gospels is the situation where Jesus blesses the children. And you look at the top of your sheet, you can see it's found in three various places, Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. And you'll see many similarities as we go through, maybe even some additions that one author might give us where the other ones do not. All right, so if you're looking at your sheets, we'll begin. Well, the first question we're going to ask is, hey, who was brought unto Jesus? And Matthew's account says this, then were brought unto him little children. Now remember, Jesus is on his way back through Galilee, moving down south towards Jerusalem. And as he's journeying, they were brought to him some little children. Now, Mark, look what it says. And they brought young children to him. And I ask you the question, who is the they? Well, probably who? They're what? They're parents bringing their children. Perhaps some were sick, but I think for the most part, they wanted this one who they knew to just bless them. And they brought unto him also infants. So children, infants. So what's your mindset? You think these are teenagers we're talking about? They're coming, the ones that they're bringing to the Lord? No, they're preteens, if you will. And, you know, some of them are very, very young. And they're bringing them all to the Lord. And we find out the statement, why were they brought to him? Look at Matthew 19 says this, that he would put his hands on them and pray. Mark says that he should touch them. He doesn't add the word pray. And Luke, same thing, that he would touch them. So we see with Matthew, we have a little bit more with Matthew's account. Not only was he going to touch them, but then he was going to pray for them. Therein comes the aspect of blessing. He's going to bless these little ones. And what did his disciples do when they saw this? Matthew says this, and his disciples, they rebuked them. And his disciples rebuked them that brought them, Mark says. And Luke says, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. Now, before we turn to the next sheet, let me just ask you a question. Why? Why would they do that? Here comes these parents. They're bringing these little ones over to the Lord to just to have them lay their hands on them and bless them. And the disciples are rebuking them, not in a sense forbidding them to do that very thing. Didn't want him to waste his time on these children. Anything else? All right, thinking, all right, hey, let the Lord let him be at rest, get some rest here. He doesn't need to be doing this. Anything else? These are all good. Anybody else? All right, well, So anyway, that's the situation at this point. All right, take a look at your next sheet. Let's take a look at how our Lord responded to these disciples' actions. Mark is the only one that says this. This is only in Mark's account. Mark 10, verse 14 says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased." Now, this is a lot stronger word than displeased. You know, you know, why that displeased me. Well, I show you, it's four times translated to have indignation. This means to be very, very disappointed. The Lord was disappointed with his own disciples for rebuking the parents for bringing these little children to him. And, well, listen to what he says. Matthew, "But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me." Mark, "And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Luke, "But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Now, I mentioned to you, this is a double command being given to the Lord. Suffer them to come and forbid them not. So it's like a boom, boom, 1-2 punch that the Lord is admonishing them with. Aspect of like permit. The word suffer means to permit, allow them to come to me. And I make this statement down here. How soon they had forgotten Jesus' teachings on children. This is Matthew 19. Well, go back with me. Just flip back a page. Go back with me to Matthew 18. So it hasn't been that long that the Lord has already taught his disciples about his feelings about children. And here it is now a few days later, and they didn't catch it. They didn't get a hold of it. Let's read these verses here. We got plenty of time. Matthew 18. "At the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." All right, what were the disciples saying to Jesus? Who's going to be the greatest? What kind of spirit do you think they have? Very proud spirit, and he's now telling them about their need for a humble spirit, even like a child. He says, "And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Do you remember another passage of scripture where the Lord is talking about judgment, separating the goats from the sheep, and he's praising them about, man, how they had blessed, you know, how they'd shown him great love and visit him when he's in jail and visit him when he's sick. And he says, "Well, what? We don't remember doing that." And he says, "Inasmuch as you did it unto the least, you've done it unto me." So what are we learning? Man, as I treat others, I'm treating my God, my Lord. I ministered to this one, I ministered to that one. I ministered to someone on yesterday or 2 days ago. He said, "I'll be out to church, and we'll see." Now, how many times do you think in my lifetime I've heard that? But who am I ministering to? Yeah. And that's what my mindset is. He says, "Whosoever shall see one of these little children in my name, he receiveth me. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for them that they have a millstone hung about their neck, and they were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. Yeah, they're going to, it's needs be that they come, but wait a minute. Woe to that man by whom the offense comes. We got to be mindful that it's necessary we experience offenses. God's going to take care of those who offend us. Therefore, if thy hand, then it goes on to, you know, to the whole aspect. But he'd already taught them here in Matthew 18. Then we flip over into Matthew 19. He's already taught them in this matter about children. And how long has it been for them? How long did it take for them to forget? I was speaking to someone, and I'd encourage them to look at the tapes on bitterness. And he made this statement. Well, I know those. I know those things. I said, yeah. But you know what? God's constantly telling us to remember. He's constantly telling us to go over. How many times different principles in the Bible does he teach us over and over? Because obviously this one who knew these things was not performing them, okay? So you need to hear them again. And sometimes we have to hear God's principles over and over and over in our mind and in our heart. Because it doesn't take us long to forget. He taught his disciples about, children. And the aspect of having not a proud, arrogant spirit, but having a very humble spirit. Now, how did Jesus respond to his disciples' actions? Well, Mark says, when he saw it, he was much displeased. Now, watch what he says to him. Matthew says, but Jesus said, suffer, don't forbid. Mark said the same thing. Suffer, don't forbid. Luke says the same thing. So they said, okay. Let them come. Don't forbid them. Now, why did Jesus say that? Look at Matthew's account on the bottom of your page here. It says this. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Look at Mark. For of such is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, same, okay? For such is the kingdom of God, says Luke. Now, what do you mean by that? I mean, he says it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're consistent. Talking about these children, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. For of such is the kingdom of God. For such is the kingdom of God. Plus what we just learned out of Matthew, reviewed again in Matthew's account. What are we learning? What do you mean by that? For such is the kingdom. Such is the... Anybody want to venture a thought? All right, well, if you don't want to, let's just read what he says, okay? What did Jesus say one had to do to enter the kingdom of God? Mark says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little children, he shall not enter therein. Luke, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Okay, so what's he mean by that? What's it take to enter in to the kingdom of God? Total faith. Faith. What else does it take? To have faith and to demonstrate faith, you must also demonstrate what? Belief? Humility. Humility, because you're saying what? I can't, but God, you can. And I believe you can. And I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's that childlike faith. Now, why does he say childlike faith? Let's think about this for a minute. All right. Now, it doesn't take long for you to see pride in your child, right? And what are some evidences of pride in your child? Give me one word. What's one word you might going to hear from them? Thank you. No. Honey, that no. What's an action that you might see with a child that's growing in their pride? We call it the temper what? Temper tantrum. But nevertheless, there's pride in the children at a very young age. But what you see as we grow older, and with knowledge, what happens? What we're told in the book of Romans? With knowledge, knowledge does what? It puffeth up. I remember by the time I was 16, I was so much smarter than my dad and my granddad. I mean, I worked all the time with my granddad. And I want to tell you something, I always had a better idea. Fixing fence, I had a better idea. I mean, whatever we're doing, gathering in the cows, I had a better idea. And you watch, and by the time a child is a teenager, the pride begins. This is why you hear me tell you that if a child gets to be a teenager, normally for salvation, it's going to take, yes, the Word of God, yes, the Spirit of God, but because of pride, oftentimes it takes circumstances of God in our life. One circumstance for the Apostle Paul, well, before he was Paul, he was Saul. What was the circumstance? He was made what? He was made blind. So by the time someone gets to be a teenager, almost always, if you were saved, I was saved at 27. If you were saved after a teen or older, I'm almost guaranteeing you there was some kind of situation in your life whereby God was putting pressure on you. And the reason is because of our pride. I'm dealing with this individual, and you look and you say, man, look at the pressure here. Wow, look at the pressure here. Woo, woo, there's pressure here. Surely they'll bow their knee to God. Not necessarily so. And now we're talking about a professing believer. You mean Christians? Christians can even be proud? Well, look at how many times you say no to God. He says, don't do that. I want you to do this. He says, don't do that. And you say, I'm going to. He says, go do that. And you say, I'm not going to. We say no all the time. And what is that a picture of? Our pride. I'm telling you, this is what, when he's talking about little children, they're not without all pride. There is pride, but it's not as built in and built up as with older people, teens, 20, 30, 40, whatever. So this is what he's saying, hey. And of course it takes that childlike faith. And thinking about that, I mentioned the counseling session. The whole aspect is having a childlike faith is that Christians can begin with big, great faith and let suffering come into their life. Boom, this side. Boom, this side suffering. They turn over here. Boom, this thing is going wrong. Much like Job's day, right? The bad day, he lost the cattle, and one guy escapes. He comes, and while that guy's talking to him, his camels are all destroyed. One guy gets out, and he comes and tells him about the camels, and while he's talking to him, here comes about the goats, and it seemed like all of his stuff was going up in one day. I mean, boom, 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 it didn't matter. And what happens to so many Christians? Instead of their faith just soaring, which God desires it to do, it goes right the opposite way. One thing that you will know for certain, and you can take this to the bank, your faith will be tested. Every Christian's faith is going to be tested. God's desire is to do what with our faith? To say what? Grow it. What's another word that he uses? As fire and gold. He wants to purify it, refine it, purify it. And here is a situation that we need to, we think about, oh, our salvation, I need to come to the Lord like a child. Many of the Christians I deal with, that's what they need to do. They need to come to the Lord with that childlike faith. Well, hey, the Bible says Jonah got swallowed by a fish. Okay. Hey, the Bible says God created the world in 6 days. Okay, yeah, all right. Childlike faith. But situation comes in this Christian's life, and boom, 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 boom. Watch. Oh, how can that be true? They begin to doubt. And they need to get back to having childlike faith. This childlike faith is not something, okay, today I had it when I got saved, and I don't need it anymore. Yes, you do. Because you get to, well, I'm wise now. Ooh, I'm really smart. Yeah, you know what we're smart in? The world's knowledge. We're not smart in God's knowledge. And that's why when you're ministering to such, you need to continually be ministering with the Word. You need to be continually ministering with the Spirit. You have to help that Christian to walk more and more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And this is what we're seeing here about this childlike faith, that don't just think about it, the initial salvation. Think about it as you grow 50, 60, 70, 80. Maintain that childlike faith. God said it, so I believe it. You get that little child, he said, hey, jump down here. Come on, daddy, catch you. Yee-hoo! Next year, you say the same thing. And that child says, no. Why, what? I don't know if you'll catch me. And this is what we need to have, that childlike faith, man. If God said it, yeah, I thank God that he has given me a simple faith, faith to believe. I marvel at different individuals who are theologians who study and meditate and just know the various arguments. We looked at some of the arguments in the earlier class, and I look at all those theological arguments. And I studied Thies, and then I studied Burkhoff, and I studied Hodge and all these theologians, and how they put the, and I'm thinking, thank you, dear Jesus, just for the simple faith he gave to me. That you said it, I believe it. I don't understand it all, but I read it, so I believe it. And let me tell you something. If God's given you that kind of faith, you ought to be extremely thankful. Well, where are we at? Well, let's find out what he did with the children, okay? He says, he laid hands on them and departed hence. He took them up into his arms. So they weren't teenagers, were they? He put his hands on them and he blessed them. And I ask you, what do you think all that involved? What do you think is going on? What kind of faith does it take to enter into the kingdom of God? And what is that faith I told you? It's a childlike faith. God said it. I believe it. All right, now look, we went through that. I told you it wasn't going to take very long, but I guess I stretched it out as much as I could there, right? But watch this. What do these verses teach us about our triune God? What did he desire of his disciples? What's he desire of us? To minister even unto who? Young people, children. Children. I don't have any time for you. We were watching our two great-grandchildren. In fact, one great child, grandchild, stayed overnight. And, you know, I don't have time. We got up Sunday or Saturday morning, got them down, set them down. We began to teach them some stories, the Bible, about the two sons. Remember the two sons? And one son said, I'll do it, Dad. And he didn't do it. The other said, I'm not going to do it, Dad. But he went and did it. Well, then we have a little other story that goes along with that we also read to him after we read the Bible thing. But listen, don't think, I don't have time for little ones. The Lord made time for little ones. And who are we to be following? The Lord. Take time to minister to little ones. If it's just a hand upon them, if it's just a smile, if it's just some kind of gesture, let them know that you're thinking of them and you care for them. The Lord does. And what does the Lord desire of us? Whether we're saved or unsaved, it's desire is still the same. That we come to him, how? With childlike faith. Humbly coming to the Lord with childlike faith. That's what God desires, okay? That's what we learned here about his desires. Did we learn anything about mankind here? When you look at his disciples, what do we learn about mankind? Anything? No, they weren't always tuned to the Lord's will. Here's what you see so often in our lives. People will take up our offense. They want to protect us. They want to watch over us. And in so doing, that's not always God's plan for our life. Sometimes God's plan for our life is, you know, hold on, wait a minute. Let them come. Oh, no, I got to protect. And in this case, let's face it. I mean, were they protecting the Lord from sin? No, they're protecting him, you know, from taking his time, from utilizing his time. But we have to watch that we can be jealous for others, envious for others. And it can get us in trouble. All right, how might these verses change our behavior? We went down through them. Okay, that was a nice story. Boy, quick too, short. All right, what are you going to purpose to do as a result of it? Easy enough purpose, isn't it? How are you going to come to Jesus? Rick. All right, go ahead. Oh, okay. Yeah. High and lofty, yes.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good. And the purpose is, hey, I'm just going to purpose to come to Christ. And again, whether we're talking about as an unsaved person or as we look at our group as a saved person, I'm going to come to Christ with a spirit of humility, a spirit of humble faith. If God said it, I believe it. And I'm going to take it the next step, obey it. Yes, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. And you watch an individual who is in mental anguish, and the thought will come to your mind, where's their simple faith? They've lost that simple faith. Well, God has said it. I read him a verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God's faithful. Faithful about what? Well, he's not going to suffer. He's not going to permit you to be tempted above that which you are able. No man could go through what I'm going through. Why? And God will not allow you, not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but he will with that temptation. He's going to make a way of escape that you are able to endure it. I can't endure it. I can't endure it. Nobody can endure this. Lost this, I've lost that, I could maybe lose this. I can't endure it. What's he denying? What's he showing? A lack of what? Lack of faith. And so how do you think I minister to such a one? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what do I do? Well, I got to get my psychology book. Where in the world is my psychology book? I got to stay. That's not the way I minister to him. When I'm on, we read. We share. We study the word of God. Because I know that faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. What needs to be done in this person's mind? They need to have it renewed. So when you're dealing with someone who lacks faith, then try to pray with them, try to study with them, read the Bible to them, and you got to show patience. I mean, they're screaming and hollering and going on. You got to show patience. Just gently minister the word, keep ministering the word, and trusting and praying. Every day he calls me. And every day he'll be ranting and raving at me. But you know what I know? Why does he call me? There's something in him that knows that he needs help. He knows where he can find help. So keep ministering. This afternoon, I'm pretty sure I'll be hearing from him. Minister the word, keep ministering the word, praying, and trusting that one time, next time after that, something, boom, whoa, oh yeah, yeah, I need to bow my knee. And, you just don't grow weary. You say, well, I'm getting, my faith is small. And I'm telling you, only thing you can do is get in the word. Now, the problem is, this one, he will tell you, I can't understand it. And I've been a Christian many years, but I can't understand it. Well, let me read it to you. Let me read it to you. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's ask God to give you wisdom and understanding. Isn't that what Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus? That they would have wisdom and understanding? So pray. That's what we do. We pray, God, help us to have wisdom and understanding as we look at your scriptures. And then minister the word. Well, hey, don't be ashamed that you have childlike faith. encourage others to have that same childlike faith. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you love young children. Lord, we are so thankful that you have made provision for us to enter into the kingdom of God by responding as a small child with childlike faith and humility. Continue, Lord, to help us to be cautious that we would maintain that spirit, that your blessings could flow upon our life. Now we just ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.